Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
You can stick it to the man and big tech. Join our FTL social mastodon at social.freetalklive.com.
Two more of your calls and thoughts. We get the chance to talk about how business owners are apparently more likely to hire older folks these days instead of younger ones. And also the continuing attack against cryptocurrency, specifically the world of decentralized finance, is going to likely be targeted now by the U.S. federal government because the Treasury Department says DeFi is a threat to national security.
Good.
So, yeah, well, we can talk about that on the way here. But let's go first to Jack calling us from somewhere I didn't write down. Jack, you're on Free Talk Live. Go ahead. I don't know if you're listening.
He's got to turn the radio down.
Is that you talking, Jack, in the background? Oh, that's us. Okay, yeah, you got to. So tip number one, if you're going to call broadcast radio, you always have to listen on the phones. Otherwise, it'll be really confusing when the show picks up the line. So we're going to try Jack one more time here. Jack, are you with us?
Hello.
Jack, you got to turn down. Did you turn it down?
Yeah, I was going to ask that.
Yeah, you got to turn that down. Otherwise, it'll be really hard to. We're just not. We can't continue if you don't turn it down, basically. So we got you?
Yeah.
Perfect. All right, thank you, sir. What's on your mind tonight?
Yeah, why vote?
Why vote? Tell me.
No, that's a question.
Oh, you're asking us. Do you guys want to? One of you guys?
Yeah, I got an answer.
Go ahead. Yeah.
So, voting in a federal election is probably sort of useless.
Yeah.
but here in New Hampshire, where we have 400 state representatives, 35 state senators,
24.
Oh, 24. I'm sorry. Thank you. And. You know, it's your state representative, for example, the 400 of them for a 1.3 million population, your vote actually might count, and your state representative is pretty much available to you. Most of them just have their cell phone number, you know, when you click on their link, and you can, they're pretty easy to talk to and, you know, run into and hold accountable, you know, here in New Hampshire. So I do believe that voting locally, so, like, for example,
absolutely,
you're most likely to get attacked by your local town government, not really the federal government. Most people in America are going to have problems with code enforcement, you know, busybodies, neighbors complaining, you know, things like that. So whoever, like, in your local town or town especially, and if you live in a city, I'd say get the hell out of the cities. They're going to melt down, and they're full of straight-up algorithmic slaves and zombies. Yeah, like, local and regional elections in New Hampshire are good because a ton of libertarians in New Hampshire also mostly running as Republicans. Now, if you're, like, in Massachusetts, there's, like, so few state representatives that your vote is almost doesn't really count. I don't even think it does, you know, like, where I grew up. And because
they're all terrible.
And they're all terrible, yep.
Yeah, so if you actually have somebody worth voting for, as we frequently do here in New Hampshire, thanks to the Free State Project, actually putting real liberty-minded people on the ballot. Sometimes they run as Republicans, sometimes as Democrats, sometimes as libertarians. Then in that case, you in many cases are voting for someone you actually know, someone that you know is an principled, freedom-loving person. But in a lot of cases, Jack, it's probably not worth voting.
You better believe it, too, because, like,
yeah, I mean,
well, go ahead.
I understand how you're breaking it down. You got the local, the state, and the federal. Yeah, I mean, you make a good point there. And, of course, you know, states are different, you know. But there again, when you go presidential, I mean, those guys are just propped up, you know.
They're scum.
Basically, two choices. You know, you're either a Democrat or you're a Republican, you know. Yeah, I mean, how do you just slam somebody in a box? And why do people do that? Why do they divide up themselves and then form majorities you know, to control the other half.
This is a planned strategy. Have you not? It's a plan.
Divide and conquer.
Yeah, I mean, look, they're going to give you a turd sandwich or a big douche. What do you want? The turd sandwich with a douche. I mean, they don't give you many choices. I don't want either one of those.
Yeah, they suck.
And there's always another option out there. Always.
Well, there is, but, I mean, you can vote for a libertarian, but they're usually milk toast these days. They're not really principled. They're not really even worth lifting a finger for to
until
volunteer for or anything like that. Yeah, until you move to New Hampshire.
In order to even be in the game, you have to classify yourself and then start following and dressing like those people, doing their stuff, acting like them, going to their church or not church or whatever organizations that they back. You know, at that point right there, you just become fake.
Yeah, screw those people. I agree with you. The federal gang is full of evil, and the only kind of people who are attracted to it are the people who are easily corrupted or are already corrupt. They're already evil. They're looking for power. Those are the people that run at the federal level, and that's why the only solution to the federal government is to say goodbye.
Yeah, see you later.
And secede, peacefully secede from the United States. Where are you calling from tonight, Jack?
I mean, how could you enjoy your Constitution, you know, that recognizes your God-given rights if you secede from that?
Oh, no. You must not...
You're going to follow your state constitution?
Yes.
At that point?
Well, yeah, actually. I mean, obviously, with the kind of people on this show, we're not really that interested in having any government, but the state government, at least, is a little more accessible than the federal government, and the New Hampshire constitution is actually a darn good, you know, all things considered, it's a pretty good constitution.
If New Hampshire operated basically...
Yeah, it was really good, you know. The constitution is so well that it can be amended to the point where someone can be a criminal at any point in time when they deem that object is criminal. So at one time, you know, you had, alcohol. You know, they amended that, right?
Yeah, no, that was a terrible, terrible amendment, no doubt about
it. Do you know why alcohol was made illegal?
Yeah. What?
Do you know why alcohol was made illegal?
I'm sure there's a lot of different interpretations of that.
Well, the Temperance Movement was funded by a guy named John D. Rockefeller, who owned U.S. Standard Oil. Because at the time, pretty much all of rural America, all the farmers were stealing corn. They were stealing, weeds just growing in a ditch. You know, they were harvesting weeds and grasses, and they were running their stills, and they were making fuel alcohol. They were running, their mills, running their Model T Ford cars, their tractors. They were using it for heating lamps, like a lot of the big cities actually got. California, Chicago, for example, stilled 2,000 bushels of corn per week to light all the lamps in Chicago, and then all that corn, the distiller's grain left over was all sold off as feed. The city actually sort of made a little bit of a profit back then doing this alcohol thing for lamp fuel, and then they converted.
You know what they said? They said, you know, whenever they actually found oil, you know, what they call organic or whatever they call, you know, it was a great day for the whales. You know,
it was. Yep. Exactly. So the oil monopoly had gotten so powerful.
This is a business. And so the business is actually running the United States, right?
Yeah, yeah. James Corbett, who's an excellent, excellent reporter, he does it's James Corbett and the World After Oil or the World on Oil. It's like a 2-hour long presentation all about basically the oil empire and how oil sort of captivated the government. But they got rid of alcohol so you couldn't make your own alcohol. That was a thing. And the IRS was created to enforce this alcohol stuff as a temporary measure. And also what they did is they destroyed millions upon millions of stills. They destroyed the whole alcohol infrastructure that was sort of decentralized back in the day, because basically anybody who had a patch of land could take whatever's on the land. You can make anything organic and turn into alcohol. And
that's
also oil should not be called.
My grandmother, she had the bottles, you know, from way back when, from, you know, Prohibition, and they actually said you cannot put, I forget the printing on it, but, you know, they would sell the tax liquor, but then you could not, it actually was in the glass, imprinted, you cannot repurpose this bottle for alcohol consumption.
Ridiculous.
You know, it's all about tax.
That's an interesting history, Jay. I had actually not heard that about alcohol prohibition. It was completely believable, considering that's exactly what they did with cannabis, where it was the newspaper magnate wanted to ban hemp, essentially. And so they did this, you know, dirty, underhanded attack, and they acted like this was the devil's weed and all this propaganda.
So the corporations, So the corporation is running the government.
Yeah, nothing changed, right? Yeah, like, nothing's really changed.
We don't really have a government. The East India Tea Corporation has just morphed into all these other corporations.
Yeah.
And, you know, there really isn't a government. Even if you look at just any town or city charter, they don't even call themselves a government. They call themselves a municipal corporation is what they call themselves, but they... that is a governmental agency, and we got to remember the suffix AL on an end of a word means similar to or like, and that's all. They're operating at like similar to a government, but they're not. And it's also called color of law, which is very clear. Color of law also means, well, it's similar to law, but upon further examination, it's not really law.
Jack, anything else you want to share tonight?
No, I just wanted to be number four.
Jack,
thank you, man.
Thank you, man.
Appreciate it.
Let's continue here. Caller, you're on Free Talk Live. What's your name?
My name is Jeff.
Jeff or Jed? I couldn't make out what you said there.
My name is Jeff.
Jeff. All right.
Hey, Jeff.
What's on your mind tonight, Jeff?
Man, I was in Manchester last weekend, right? I'm
okay.
Pretty sure I saw you.
Saw Joa, you mean?
Oh. Were you at the corner of Lowell Helm last weekend on Saturday?
I was talking to you, Joa.
Probably. Yeah.
Yo, were you were the guy that made some, like, 21-year-old girl to punch you in the face.
She assaulted me, right? Right? Is what you're trying to say?
I mean, you're out filming young girls, but that's beside the point.
What'd he say?
Said you're out filming young girls.
No, actually, I was filming the police.
You're filming little girls in black tight pants. That's a little weird, isn't it?
I didn't even remember what she was wearing. That's weird that you did, though, right?
This is at, like, what, 11 o'clock at night? What time was this?
This was, like,
12?
2? In the morning or the afternoon?
1
a.m.
Yeah, 1 a.m.
I don't remember.
I suspect there weren't very many little girls on the streets of Manchester at past midnight.
She was drinking. She was drunk. I mean, she was clearly an adult.
You also got to understand, I'm 80.
So everybody looks little to you, right? Everybody looks young. Here's your winner, Joa.
I'm 80. Wait, do I win the gold?
I think you won the gold, man.
Yeah, you can win it.
Hell yeah!
All right, we'll put you on hold here unless you got anything else. Yeah. Do you have anything else to share tonight, caller? No, he doesn't have the gold.
I just wanted the gold.
Yeah, that's
and
all right.
Don't film young girls and don't get beat up by them.
Right. Hang on.
Actually,
we'll
you've been disqualified.
What?
Yeah, I'm going to disqualify that one.
Really? Why?
Yeah, no.
Because they were hostile?
Yeah. Like, I try to ban people that are on my channel that are insulting and trying to lie.
All right.
So you don't have to agree.
You have to be friendly.
It's my channel. It's my channel. I can do whatever I want. I'm a dictator of my own channel. It's like walking into my private business and I don't like you. Get the hell out.
All right, so I shouldn't hold on to this person then. That's what you're saying.
No, get rid of him.
Goodbye, guy.
Smell you later.
Yeah. I saw the footage. You were completely within your right.
And who approached who? Did this little girl approach me?
Did
I approach her?
You were walking away from her and she came at you.
That's right.
She hit you from behind, it looked like to me.
Yeah, I think you turned around right as she was getting in your face.
Actually, I didn't turn around at all. I actually turned my camera around.
Oh, okay. All right.
Yeah. What did she do to you? Did she jab you in the ribs, or what happened?
She punched my camera in me. So, okay. at the same time with two hands.
Like a shove, almost.
Yeah,
Did you get charged with anything or arrested or anything?
No, they were trying to charge me for saying bootlicker.
Oh, yeah, well.
Yeah, because that's offensive, apparently.
And she was mad at you for what?
Filming the police.
Oh.
She approached me, you know?
So frustrating.
So people are getting violent over you filming the police. Several years ago, there was a 13-year-old boy who wouldn't, like, take his hat off or stand up for a national anthem at some, you know, I don't know, some
nice.
County fair or something.
Sounds like me.
Hero.
And the guy right next to him, like punched this kid like a grown man.
Wow,
like,
that's crazy.
Hit this kid hard or like speed. So, this was like 7-8 years ago this happened, but you know, and this is happening everywhere. You know, this is why I'm gonna say, Joa, stay the hell out of that city. You should boycott that city.
Those people are everywhere, man.
But
they're everywhere.
Yeah, they're really concentrated in the cities, and I believe that we have
cop lovers are all over the place, man. Yeah. I had this happen years ago.
Oh yeah,
before cop block, there was cop watch. I think they still exist.
Yeah, a lot of people represent that.
But that was the thing back in the day. Cause it was the only thing. And so we were doing cop watch back in Keene way back, and just like you're talking about, some drunk a-holes are on the streets getting mad at us because we were recording the police. And even though those same cops would have arrested these guys in a heartbeat for whatever trumped-up charge, they wanted to turn their anger towards us for recording the police. And in that particular situation, the police actually did their job. And it actually ended up making them look good because the cops stepped in, intervened with these goons, and then they managed to stop them from whatever they were intending to do.
Yeah.
And so they actually ended up looking good in that footage. And ever since then, my viewpoint has been like, look, if you don't want us to record the police harassing you, then we'll just go somewhere else. So if there's ever the cops...
Exactly. Yeah. Like, I'm there filming the cops because when they do things to you... I want to have it recorded and make sure that they're doing their job properly and not going to hurt you.
Have you had people ask you that are being victimized by the police not to film?
Have you had that happen?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I mean, people get triggered when I'm filming, like, traffic stops. And
do you keep filming?
Oh, yeah, I don't stop.
See, I'll walk away.
Well, it depends. It depends.
Like, I was like, hey, my viewpoint is if you want to get abused.
Yeah.
Whatever.
But what if
you love the cops that much, if you love your abuser that much, just walk away.
Yeah, so I pulled out and started videotaping somebody in Colorado years ago. I mean, a couple of guys. It was in Denver. And we're all recording, and the guy's like, please, the cops are going to be really tough on me if you're here doing this. And we ended up just walking away because he was, like, so terrified that we were basically going to record.
Thought it was going to make it worse.
That he was going to face further repercussions.
That's shameful. Yeah. You know... I feel like I've saved a lot of people
with the camera. I think you
have. Yeah, I think a lot of tickets weren't written or, you know, just a warning, whatever.
I think we all have. I mean, I think that that's just generally what happens. If you get out there in the streets and you record the police harassing people, you're going to have an effect on that. And I think overall it's going to be a positive effect. Mm-hmm. But some people can't see it. Some people, they love their abuser, right? Like, even though they're getting harmed by these police, they want it to happen because they want to punish themselves. Oh, I did bad. I got caught. I remember seeing this when I was in jail the first time for civil disobedience. There were guys in there who never harmed anybody else. They were in there for, like, selling weed or you know, coke or something like that, a completely voluntary act. But they were actually of the belief that they deserved what was happening to them. They actually had that belief system, and nothing I was going to say.
Like, yeah, man, I got caught. You know, now I got to do my time.
Yep. Yep. And then there was, there's also the kind of the viewpoint of, oh, my God, I don't want my mom to see me getting arrested. So sometimes people don't want to be recorded for that reason. True. They're just embarrassed
about
the whole thing.
I've had somebody contact me and be like, hey, can you remove the video of me? I'm like, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Like, you were out on the streets at, you know,
I think you're well within your
same Elm Street.
Yeah, I think you're within your rights for doing that. It's just that that's not how I'll do it these days, just because I'll respect somebody's request. Like, hey, if you feel like you don't want me there, fine. I'll go find someone who appreciates me. And I remember, I don't know if it was the same night. I think it might have been the same night that the goons were threatening us on the streets. We started, we changed our approach. We just started asking people, like, hey, do you want us to record this? You know, just whenever we would see somebody, I just walk up to them while they're in their car. Like, the moment the cop walks away from the window, right? Like, I got a chance to talk to them. Hey, is it okay if I, you know, stand here and just, you know, record this? And some people said no, but at the end of the night, we came up to a black guy in New Hampshire, right? If you're black in New Hampshire, it's not as an easier time for you when you're dealing with the police in a lot of cases. And when we asked him if it was all right, he was like, yes, please stay here. And he really appreciated it and was like, this was worth it, you know, to find the right person who actually appreciated what we were doing.
Yeah.
Screw the rest of those people. Let them get their criminal charges and let them have to deal with it.
Hey. If they want to cop suck, I call it.
Yeah.
You're going to get it. You're going to get it. You deserve it. Actually, thank you for your service, for funding the police with your, you know, bootlicking behavior. I mean, look, if you got the Thin Blue Line sticker on your car, you're basically guaranteed revenue.
state.
Yeah, sure.
I dated a girl whose brother was a cop, and he had his really, you know, shiny, polished up, you know, he, like, buffed his car every couple weeks or something. He was really into his car. He had a very nice car. And he put his thin blue line sticker in the back, and he had a thin blue line license plate. So in Massachusetts, if you have a red and white plate, you're supposed to have two license plates. Unless you're a cop, then you can run a vanity plate up front. So he put a thin blue line vanity plate because nobody, you know, the cops don't give other cops tickets for that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And he took him off because his car was just getting keyed constantly. Every time he was, like, in some
wow.
parking lot.
I'm not saying that's a good idea. Don't
keyed.
Do that. But
and other guys, damn. Police department are like, oh yeah, you can't be running your flashing all that stuff like that and parking your cars places because they're like, yep, cars get keyed.
It's gang sign.
For that. Yeah,
it's gang symbol.
A oh, terrorist symbol.
Yeah.
Terrorism.
Another accomplice to the police in stealing people's property, like here locally in Keene, you have Emerson Towing.
Sure.
So there was a video, this was when I was in Colorado, I watched this video, so like probably 2013 or 14, and I forget the fella's name. You might know who he is as soon as I tell you about this. But a guy was an Emerson Towing truck was hooking up to a car,
mm-hmm.
and a guy's like videoing, and he goes, "Hey, what are you doing?" And I think this was put on Free Keen either Facebook feed. I saw it on Facebook. Yeah. And
this was one of the Robin Hooders. I think it was
yes, mm-hmm. Robin Hooder. And he's like, "What are you doing? Why are you taking this car?" And he's like. And the tow truck guy gets, like, yes. this little, like, billy club stick thing out and, like, aggressively walks up to the guy filming and basically says how he's going to beat him. And yeah. then a cop shows up a few minutes later and he's like, "Hey, this guy just threatened to beat me and I got it on film. What are you going to do about it?"
Nothing.
And the cop's just like, he's kind of a fat, chubby cop.
Mm-hmm.
So I kind of was in between, like, some work, or we had a few days off and I was watching this. So I sent an email to Emerson Towing's insurance company.
Ooh,
and I called Emerson
nice.
Towing and I asked them for their insurance, you know, stuff, and they're like, "Why do you want it?" And I'm like, "So I just watched a YouTube video where one of your drivers threatened to beat some guy who was just videotaping him, you know, hooking up to a car, towing a car." And they hung up the phone for on me. The people. So I just called the Secretary of State's office, mm-hmm. and they sent me, after several phone calls, it was pain in the butt. I got the policy number of their indemnification bond, so I actually sent the company an email. I said, "Do you indemnify employees of Emerson Towing against violent behavior? Here's the link to the video." So I sent them the link, and then I did get a response back. "Wow, that's kind of scary that we insure, you know, basically what the lady mm-hmm. had said. I'm going to look into this." I never really went, but
nice.
That insurance yeah, company got, like, an official complaint against, like, this guy's threatening, and, like,
yeah.
a lot of people did. This is one way to sort of fix them is hit them when they're bonded.
Yeah, yeah.
And because
they're either going to fire that guy or
these towing companies that work for the cops are all major parasites just right with the government. You know?
Unfortunately, it's like all of them. As I understand that they put them in a rotation around here. So they call
it's
one,
a bit of
the next. There's more coming up here. You can join the show. The number is 603-283-6160. That's 603-283-6160. You can bring up whatever is on your mind here on Free Talk Live. We got more coming up.
If you have an IRA or 401k, please listen closely. My name is Jason Hansen. I'm a former CIA officer and New York Times bestselling author. Throughout my career, let's just say I've been in some hairy situations. And I believe right now the biggest threat facing Americans is they need to protect their wealth, which is exactly what I'm doing for my wife and six kids. And I believe the ultimate safe haven is physical gold and silver. You can protect your hard-earned retirement assets with a tax-free loophole that allows you to convert your retirement into physical gold and silver. The folks I use are Advantage Gold, and believe me, I've investigated the heck out of all types of people. Advantage Gold is the nation's highest rated gold company. They have the best process, pricing, and service. If you want to get your free gold and silver investment kit, please contact Advantage Gold right now, and you'll see how easy it is to protect yourself with precious metals. Call 800-900-8000. That's 800-900-8000. 800-900-8000.
Advantage Gold is not an investment advisor or a tax advisor. Consult with your financial advisor before investing.
Call 800-900-8000.
USA News Update.
The Biden administration is releasing reports on the 2021 withdrawal from Afghanistan.
Decisions made and the lack of planning done by the previous administration significantly limited options available to him.
National Security Council spokesman John Kirby says a summary largely blames former President Trump's administration for the problems that occurred as U.S. troops were leaving. The Nashville school shooter, who killed three children and three adults at the Covenant School in Tennessee in March, left a suicide note behind on her desk and a list of passwords. The LSU women's basketball team says it'll gladly accept an invite to the White House despite a rift between their star player and First Lady Jill Biden. Angel Reese was upset after Jill Biden said she wanted to invite Iowa along with LSU to the White House, even though the Hawkeyes lost. Dave Collins, USA News.
Stop aging now. Restore those joints. Boost your strength. Because it's official. NutraMedical has released the most exciting, powerful anti-aging supplement on the market. Dr. Bill Deagle's Red Deer Velvet DR has been approved by the U.S. Patent Office. Imagine stem cell rejuvenation all in one capsule without huge expense. Dr. Bill MD discovered that as an unborn baby grows in the mother's womb, he or she does not deteriorate or physically age. Red Deer Velvet DR, like the uterus, provides 300 biomolecules and 6 hormones protected in one special DR capsule that delivers lipid packages directly into your circulation. This patented technology bypasses the stomach and is released into the small bowel unaltered by digestive enzymes and stomach acid. Remember, Red Deer Velvet DR. Improve endurance, stimulate your immune system, increase learning ability, and even improve sexual libido with Red Deer Velvet DR. Click NutriMedical.com. That's NutriMedical.com. Or call toll-free 888-212-8871 and get on the road to a newer, rejuvenated, happier you.
Extendivite is more than just a heart tonic. Most basic diseases are caused by yeast in the gut and metals in the liver, and we all have a bit of both. The garlic in Extendivite has a yeast-killing effect in the gut while also helping the sulfur enzyme in the liver get rid of the metals. Extendivite just may improve your overall health. Products like Extendivite are the only way we're going to get our society healthy. And if you're waiting for the government and pharmaceutical care to solve your health problems, you're going to have a long, disappointing wait, I think. Extendivite is a complete formula for extended life in the new millennium. 80 can be the new 60. Extendivite is available in capsule or liquid form for just $69.95 for a 2-month supply. To get started, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Appreciate what we do? Help us advertise, market, and promote for just $5 a month at amp.freetalklive.com.
It is Free Talk Live. You can join the show here and bring up whatever you want. We got time for you right now. The number is 603-283-6160. That's 603-283-6160. Ian J. and Joe are here in the studio tonight. Join us online anytime you want. Just go to freetalklive.com. You can enjoy the various features we have on there. So the big story, I think, today is this threat that they're calling decentralized finance. The national, what do they call it? The Treasury Department. They're saying that DeFi, decentralized finance, is a threat against national security. This is according to the Wall Street Journal story here. They're saying that it needs greater oversight and enforcement against money laundering. The warning in a new Treasury report assessing the risk of the so-called DeFi markets lays the foundation for tougher regulations and punitive action by federal agencies. DeFi platforms enable crypto investors to transact with each other through software running online without a central intermediary overseeing transactions. So I'll give you an example. One classic example of decentralized finance when it comes to cryptocurrency, because you would say, well, aren't all cryptocurrencies decentralized? What is the difference between Bitcoin, Ethereum, and, you know, you name the crypto, and decentralized finance? Decentralized finance isn't just the cryptocurrencies. It's a way of utilizing those cryptocurrencies to create services that compete with what you might call centralized finance. So an example of centralized finance is you go to the bank, you tell them you want to get a loan to buy something, right? You know, start a business or buy a car or a house or something like that. And of course, they got to know who you are. They got to know where you work. They got to see, you know, your job receipts. They got to see all kinds of hoop jumping on your part before they'll decide whether or not to issue the loan.
And you got to swear that you're a United States citizen under oath.
Sure. All kinds of invasive stuff that they want to do to you to give you their centralized finance services. Decentralized finance, on the other hand, there's no place to go. There's no office to sit in. There's no bureaucrat or bank employee to sit in front of. But you can get a loan. It's just it's a collateralized loan when it comes to DeFi, at least the ones that I'm aware of. So what you can do is if you have, let's say you have some Bitcoin and you like the Bitcoin, you don't really want to sell the Bitcoin, but you need some dollars to do something. Maybe, sure. You know, maybe it's, again, buying a car or something like that. So instead of selling the Bitcoin and turning it into dollars, which some would say is a taxable event, some people want to get a loan that the Bitcoin is a sort of backing that loan as collateral. And decentralized finance allows that to happen without any intermediary,
right,
without any third party that you have to sit in front of and show ID to and beg for permission. It's a contract. It's just what they call a smart contract.
Right.
So essentially you send in the crypto that you have, they send this other form back to you. In the case of stable coins, for instance, dollar-backed stable coins. This is the most traditional example, I think, of DeFi that you can get, or one of the most traditional examples, where you've never had to show them who you are. You didn't have to provide ID. You didn't have to do anything except put the collateral up. And then the contract.
That's all the credential they care about is the collateral.
You got what they asked for. Yeah.
Right.
And so then the contract spits up the thing that you're putting the collateral down for. If the price of the collateral goes in a certain direction, like if it drops too far, then they can liquidate the collateral and you essentially lose it at that point. So there are some risks, right? There's definitely risks to this. But that's one example of DeFi. Another one would be decentralized exchanges. So we know about centralized exchanges. We talk about those fairly often, like Coinbase.
Let's make this a little bit more understandable for those people that are listening. You're essentially using crypto to get a loan.
That's one application. Another one would be a decentralized finance.
Without anybody knowing who's doing it.
Correct.
And that might be complicated for some people listening, but they actually have written it into the code. Is that correct?
And unless you are a programmer... Yeah, if you're a programmer, you could verify the code, right? Like
sure,
you
sure.
Go through.
I'm just going to trust people that, you know, in reviews and that sort of thing.
But yeah, otherwise you got to trust the people that have looked at it.
Okay.
And there are risks, right? Because there's a risk of there's a bug in the code and somebody can exploit that in some way, shape, or form. And we've seen some of these DeFi platforms get ripped off by very talented programmers who found the bugs and exploited it and walked away with, you know, $60 million worth of crypto or whatever.
Wow.
So there's definitely some protocol-level risks when you're doing this.
Yeah.
But there are also some of these platforms that have been around for years now. And they've had no issues or
pretty
minor
solid.
Issues, or they fixed the issues that they've had, and they've got bug bounties and things to try to identify potential problems that come up. So another example would be a decentralized exchange. So we know that centralized exchanges, they always want to know who you are.
Yep.
They want to know where you're from. They want to see your ID. They want to see your passport. They want to have you connect a bank account. There's all these identifying things that go on. They have a record of everything that you buy. With a decentralized exchange... You just show up, you create a wallet, fund the wallet with your cryptocurrency, and you exchange whatever you want. You walk away, and there's no one who can tell you no.
So this gives poor people a lot more flexibility, a lot more power in financial markets, because rich people do this all the time. Rich people buy, you know, real estate, airplanes, all kinds of financial instruments that they own, and then they collateralize those instruments and get loans, and then they use these loans to fund things, buy toys, do whatever. And because they're basically not earning any money, they're just borrowing money, and they get an excellent rate because everything's collateralized. So this is how all the wealthy people are preserving wealth and keeping wealth and amassing more wealth. This is one of the, not the only way, but one of the things that they use. And this decentralized finance through cryptocurrencies gives this ability to everyone.
And that's another reason why they hate it.
Well, they hate it because now we have options. We don't have to do this in fiat. And
well, and you used to have to be rich to do things like investing.
Correct.
So that's another
approved
example.
Investor. You right. don't have to be an approved investor.
Right. Accredited investor, which means you have to have right. $1 million at least, or $2 million, or something like that. And now anybody with $20 mm-hmm. can get some crypto tokens in some project. Whether or not it takes off or not, who knows? But the thing right. is, you don't have to ask anyone's permission. So that's another example of decentralized finance. Somebody can have this idea.
I can do it.
Yeah, anyone.
Wait, when did this news come out?
Oh, today.
Like what time?
10:30
a.m.
This morning, yeah.
Okay. Very interesting because, well, yesterday, R, which is a ARRR, pirate coin, pirate chain. That just blew up yesterday.
Blew up as in the price
went up 27%.
That's good news.
Yeah.
So a little more here from the story to give you a feeling of what they're trying to do. Without the intermediaries of traditional finance, such as banks, regulators currently have little insight into DeFi transactions. And then ransomware hackers, rogue states, and other national security threats have seized upon the market's opaqueness to move money around the world without detection, facilitating the financial or the financing critical to their operations, claims the Treasury Department. Quote, illicit actors, including criminals, scammers, and North Korean cyber actors, are using DeFi services in the process of laundering illicit funds, said the Treasury Secretary for Terrorism and Financial Intelligence, Brian Nelson.
Can't call the kettle black there.
Nelson further said, quote, capturing the potential benefits associated with DeFi services requires addressing these risks. The report sketches out how the Treasury Department plans to bring the market under greater federal oversight, suggesting that platforms that fail to establish sufficient vetting policies risk enforcement action. And just 2 or 3 weeks ago, it was in the news that the SEC is suing one of the decentralized markets or exchanges, which is called SushiSwap.
Well, this doesn't make any sense. How could the government be a complaining party? So they're going to have to present victims in this case?
No, they don't have to do that.
They'll just say you didn't follow our regulations.
Your regulations don't apply.
Well, they're going to try to force them to apply, which is what they did in the library case, and it's what they did in the Crypto 6 case, and it's what they're doing in the Coinbase case, and what they're going to do in the Binance case.
You know what this reminds me of? It reminds me of when they bought Manhattan with Wampum. It sounds like They're just going to choke it all out. They're just going to take everything, which is a simple swipe.
They're going to try to target these guys. Now, the trick is decentralized finance, if it's done correctly, is untargetable because the people who are participating are anonymous. The websites or the tools that are being used are, you know, if they can take down the website, another one could pop up.
Oh, easily. Right? Yeah. Oh, yeah.
So a website is the central point of failure. But if it's a protocol, like Library, for instance.
Right.
Library is a protocol. And the difference between a platform and a protocol is a platform is a centralized thing that uses a protocol. So, you know, HTTP, which you see on every website URL, stands for Hypertext Transfer
Protocol.
Something protocol. And so HTTP can never go away. It's just a set of code that websites use to transmit their information to your screen.
It directs you to a certain area.
Yeah. So you can take down a website, but you can't take down HTTP. That's a protocol. It's never going to go away. Same thing's true with Library, LBRY, which we've talked a lot about their protocol, but they also have a platform called Odyssey. Joey, you've got a channel on Odyssey. It's Breaking the Flaw. We've got a channel there as well. It's called Free Talk Live.
I got to check up on it. It has been syncing.
You go to video.freetalklive.com. It'll take you right to it. Can they take down Odyssey? Yes, they can. It's a centralized website. They have servers somewhere in the world, and they could find those servers, and they can target the company that runs the servers, and they could take that site down. But they cannot terminate Library, the protocol, because that's running on thousands of computers or whatever all around the planet. And it's open source, so it's been copied a million times or whatever, and there's not one specific location to target.
Kind of like Bitcoin.
So they're going to have a difficult time going after decentralized finance, but that doesn't mean they're not going to try. And that's what they did with SushiSwap a few weeks ago, which is a quote-unquote DeFi decentralized exchange platform. But the problem is, at some point, apparently, this SushiSwap, they have a DAO, which is called a Decentralized Autonomous Organization, somehow they formed some kind of like corporation or something to, I don't know, get a bank account or get a lawyer or something. They had, I don't know the whole history of it, but they did a little bit of centralization. And so some people's names got on a record somewhere. And guess what? Federal government found that and they went after those guys.
Boom. Yeah.
So they're targeting their sushi DAO, but they're also naming specific individuals. So the takeaway from this is, first of all, it's a bunch of BS, the idea that DeFi is some sort of terrorist target, and it's just absolute nonsense. The terrorists use dollars, okay? Terrorists use government money primarily. That's what they do. So that is all just total nonsense. But that's what they're going to trot out. That's what they're going to say if they ever get people into court, and that's what they're going to get to convince these judges to rule against the decentralized finance people. So if you're involved in decentralized finance and you're not anonymous, you better look out, because they are going to be looking for you. They're gunning for you. If you are a programmer of some DeFi protocol, they're going to try to find you and bring you in front of some court, whether it's going to be criminal charges or civil charges. Them saying that it is a threat to national security. Aaron Day posted about this. He's the one who gave me a heads up on this story. He sent me a direct message. Aaron Day pointed out, look, this is code for them saying, we're going to do some crazy police state tyranny stuff against these guys. They're using national security as their excuse. They take that very seriously.
So it probably is actually a threat to national security, because what is national security?
It's the security of the state.
You're right. So it's the war machine.
Mm-hmm.
Smedley Butler, you guys should look into him. There's some great stuff about him. He was a Marine, and he spoke
out. War is a racket.
Yeah, war is a racket. Spoke out against war very much. And he literally, says that war is the lifeblood of the state. So the only reason war can happen is because of fiat dollars, because of fractional reserve banking. You couldn't have, you know, $11 billion aircraft carriers, multiple of these aircraft carriers, you know, and this, you know, nuclear-powered submarines and just all this stuff, and like 35, you know, million or billion-dollar F-35s or 34s that don't even really work right. You couldn't have all of this without the creation of money out of thin air.
Correct.
So when there is a technology like cryptocurrency that provides people an option to not support the war machine. That's always been my, you know, Bitcoin, not bombs.
Yep.
You know, that is something I've been talking about for years. The other thing you can do with decentralized finance is you can park your crypto there and you can receive a pretty generous annual percentage rate.
In some cases.
And you can lose it. But anyways, I know a lot of people who have just parked a crypto in these, you know, realistic, you know, 1.25 or 3.45. But there's even...
It's bigger than a bank. For sure.
Well, and there's ones that are a little risky. They're like 20% annual.
Yep.
And some people have made out on those and lost on those. But just the fact that, you know, you can basically choose where to put your digital ones and twos, your mathematical equation, essentially, is definitely a threat to the national security of the war machine.
Right,
of
and the bankers.
You know, the reality is that government hates competition.
They sure do.
And that's why they're doing it. They're like, no, that's our job. And they don't want...
We handle the money, not you, little programmer people, internet dorks.
We're the ones that decide the value of that dollar.
And I see all these things as good news, all this coming out against
it. Desperate.
Because it just shows how bad the war machine is.
Mm-hmm.
Just like within the public schools, they're trying to promote this, you know, inclusivity and diversity stuff as something that should be normalized. They're trying to normalize pedophilia, the World Economic Forum, you know, a whole bunch of the Democrats on the left, the radical Democrats. And it's just exposing their system. And the fact that, like, kids don't want to work anymore is because schools have been just... basically destroying the kids with all the gender nonsense, the sexual nonsense, the critical race theory, the Common Core garbage math, just, you know, all these things that are useless and not necessary are being pushed on the kids. And like a lot of these people who are all confused about that stuff have no idea about decentralized finance things or anything outside the norm. And they're just going to be slaves to a banking system, slaves to all this stuff. And this is the way they want it. And, the harder they push back on it, the more pushback is going to happen on the freedom side. The more pushback is going to be, is going to push more black markets. I think we're going to see a really, yeah. really excellent black market economy.
They're just going to strengthen
here in America
pretty
soon.
They're going to strengthen it up by going doing this. It's just going to, it's going to like. Just like going to all these foreign countries and killing the terrorists or whatever, it's just going to put 10 more terrorists in place. And I say that lightly because I don't think the people that have been killing for years in these foreign countries actually were terrorists. I think they were just people trying to defend their homeland and their families. And when you kill a family member, you're going to see 10 of their family members rise up to the occasion, regardless of the religion or aspects around it. Like, that's literally what happens every time.
But I don't like seeing anyone in the cryptocurrency world being targeted by the federal government, but I think that this is going to happen. We're seeing it's already happening in the case of the SEC going after various different organizations, going after SushiSwap, et cetera. So they're going to expand that. They're going to keep going after these groups. And what it's really going to do is it's going to prove who the truly decentralized ones are, because there's a lot of quote-unquote DeFi.
Right, right.
And you don't really know, because, again, you might not be a programmer or whatever. You can't audit what their code is.
Right.
So you're just kind of like, oh, that sounds cool. All right, we'll try this out, and maybe it'll work, maybe it won't. But if the federal government comes in and manages to take these DeFi sites or these DeFi systems down, then that's proof that they weren't decentralized enough.
Right.
That
that's
they
a good
had
point.
Too
good
many
point.
Centralized points. So I think we're going to see the federal government is ultimately going to clear out the wheat from the chaff, so to speak.
Sure.
They're going to give us the best decentralized finance, the most anonymous decentralized finance protocols are the ones that are going to survive this.
There's clearly like a vulnerability there. And I was going to say, I support the DeFi. I don't know if it's illegal to even say that.
Not yet.
But it could be. Yeah. But, I mean, I support not so much the DeFi that's in place now because it is, like, vulnerable. And,
some
you know,
will.
there's some avenue where they can get the government get their hands in the pot.
Mm-hmm.
But I support the next system that's tighter. How about that? I support
this
the next system.
This is going to spur that development as well. Like, the people are going to learn the hard lessons. They're going to say, oh, crap, we made a
don't get me wrong.
Here.
I don't really know how it works. So don't, like, I'm supporting the theory here because I don't really know.
Another layer with this whole DeFi thing is the fact that, so in America, a whole bunch of people are pulling their money out of the banks. But a lot of people are moving their like millions of dollars to separate different banks to try to get the FDIC insurance coverage, keep each account under $250,000, which I think is very laughable.
Yeah.
People are moving, I'm going to get it out of my local little bank and put it in a big bank like JP Morgan, which I think is also another
terrible
thing. But also, easy way, I'm not sure now, but if how easy it is if you can move your dollars out of dollars and into some kind of cryptocurrency, which I'm sure a lot of people are doing there.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I just read an article, $90 million was moved out of U.S. banks, like in the past week, like the biggest in history. And that can't be all in cash.
$90 billion, I think, not million.
Maybe billion, whatever it said.
It's
a lot. But that ain't happening in, you know, dollar in cash money. A lot of that's happening in a digital transaction and digitally moving it over to some kind of cryptocurrency. And then on top of this, you have a whole bunch of countries now that are breaking away from the dollar. They're buying oil directly from Russia. They're doing deals directly with China. Whole bunch of BRICS nations you guys have been talking about. This has been all over the place. So, like, anybody who's got, like, a lot of U.S. dollars is probably a little bit scared if they are paying attention to what's going on and wants to get it into something like gold, silver, crypto. Even like all the physical gold stores that I'm aware of, like the local silver mint, they've just been slammed with business.
Oh, you dropped it. You dropped it. Local silver mint.
Was I not supposed to say
no,
that?
No. I told him I was going to drop the name tonight. You did it for me.
Nice.
But yeah, he's got great deals in silver. He's cheaper than a lot of the online
buyers.
Actually,
he's the cheapest in New England.
Is that right? Wow.
For a physical location.
Store. Yeah.
I know when I was in the Goldback store a couple of weeks ago, I'd gone down there to do a report. I was recording an interview with the proprietor there, Adam Van, longtime Free Talk Live listener, by the way. He opened up Alpine Gold. It's the first store that the Goldback people have had outside of Utah. So it's their first East Coast operation. Anything east of Utah, they're basically sending all their phone calls into this Manchester location. While I was there, the phone just kept ringing. He told me they had what was it, 200-something calls, I think, on, like, a Monday a couple weeks ago, like, the like right after Silicon Valley Bank had, had failed. They had 600 calls, but they couldn't get to them all. So they had, like, 200 calls that they took, and then another 400 that they couldn't actually take because they didn't have the staff.
It's amazing, like, local Silver Mint, that they were banging, too. Like, there were just a lot of people coming in and just buying their silver and gold. I think local Silver Mint is sold out of gold right now, all of these small fractionals, which is a high premium. So,
and a lot of people are going to these physical gold and silver stores, and every week after they cash their paycheck, they're like, oh, I got $50 extra, I got $100 extra, mm-hmm. I'm just gonna go keep on stacking, and because people are with the internet and with the availability of information, there's no reason why anybody does not understand that the Federal Reserve is a total scam and a fraud, and the whole fiat system is an enslavement mechanism, and this is why the beast is lashing out so hard. This is why
they're desperate, and
they call it a matter of national security, because this is how they have their power. They have the exclusive monopoly on the control of money and dollars, and they force you with the barrels of guns to pay taxes in these particular fiat currencies, and they make examples out of people who go around fiat currencies by putting them in prison for life for mm-hmm. not commit any crimes. Ross Ulbricht, the Crypto Six guys,
facing up to life sentence in my case.
Yes, and not a man, not a single man or woman signed an affidavit saying you took anything from them.
You still don't have to KYC to buy silver. So
that's
as long as if you spend less than $10,000, you don't have the KYC.
Mm-hmm.
So there's still that option there.
Yeah, and we have been covering over the last several weeks a lot of this news about the dollar being rejected in international trade. It was the big news of the last couple weeks is Brazil and China are now going to be doing trade directly with each other's fiat currencies rather than using the dollar, which is what they were using. And Brazil is, I think I just heard this today, they're the second largest economy in like this particular part of the planet, right?
A ton of beef and pork comes out of Brazil
after
into America.
Do you know, I've met the owner of the biggest beef production. I met him in Cape Cod. I gave
KBS.
An Uber ride. I don't remember his name or anything like that, but he showed me. He showed me, like, here, take a look. And I was like, no way.
You never know who you're going to run into.
I know. Brazilian guy?
Brazilian, yeah. Yep.
Out of time for tonight, but check out Joa. He's over at Breaking the Flaw on YouTube and Odyssey. Jay Noon is raising money for Man Camp at the Porcupine Freedom Festival, which tickets are still available for, I hear, but they're getting closer to a sellout. So if you want to help Jay with that, go to jaynoon.com. That's JAYNOONE.com. And you can donate in a decentralized finance manner to his website by contributing to cryptocurrency. We'll see you tomorrow night.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's MySolarBackup.com. Look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.
Tahibo Tea Club's original Pure Pouty Arco Super Tea comes from the only tree in the world that fungus does not grow on. As a result, it naturally has antifungal, anti-infection, antiviral, antibacterial, anti-inflammation, and anti-parasite properties. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. The tea is also organic and naturally caffeine-free. A one-pound package of tea is $49.95, which includes shipping. To order, please visit shopsupertea.com. The first word is shop, spelled S-H-O-P, then the word super, and then the word tea. The complete website is shopsupertea.com or call us at 818-984-6100 Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. California time. That's 818-984-6100. ShopSuperTea.com.